Something Childish But Very Natural by Catherine Mansfield. Dramatized for radio by Jane Beeson. With Michael Maloney as Henry and Harriet Walter as Edna.
Whether I had forgotten what it felt like or my head had grown bigger since the summer before, I couldn't decide, but my straw hat hurt me. It pinched my forehead and started a dull ache in the two bones just above my temples. I had chosen a corner seat in a third-class smoker, so I took off my hat and put it in the rack with my large black cardboard portfolio and my Aunt Bee's Christmas present gloves. There were 10 minutes to spare before the train went, so I thought I'd go and have a look at a bookstore.
Real day of spring. The most thrilling day of the year. What can I find to while away 5 minutes? Byron, Shelley, Coleridge. Coleridge! Now, there's a poet. Something childish but very natural. But in my sleep to you I fly, I'm always with you in my sleep. The world is all one's own, but then one wakes and where am I? All alone. I like it. It charms me. Yes, it does. It could have been written lying in bed very early in the morning, watching the sun dance on the ceiling. It's still like that. I'm sure he wrote it when he was only half awake, for it's got the smile of a dream on it. Sleep stays not though a monarch bids. Oh, my God! I wasn't even in the right carriage, but I was lucky to have caught the train at all. In the opposite corner, close against the wall, sat a girl. I didn't dare to look at her, but I felt certain she was staring at me. She must have thought me mad, dashing into a train without even a hat. I felt funny. I didn't know how to sit. I put my hands in my pockets and tried to appear indifferent. I frowned at a photograph of Bolton Abbey. But when I felt her looking at me, I couldn't help but glance back. She looked away immediately and out of the window. I went on looking. Her cheek and shoulder were half hidden by a long wave of marigold-coloured hair. I liked her green coat and her hat with a little wreath of flowers. The title of the poem came back into my mind, something childish but very natural. I supposed she went to school in London, that she might even be in an office. But no, I decided she was too young, and if she was, she would have had her hair up. I couldn't help looking at her. I had to speak to her. Had to. I began to put up my hand to raise my hat, but wasn't there. Oh, I'm most awfully sorry, but I can't go on sitting in the same carriage with you and not explaining why I dashed in like that without my hat. I'm sure I gave you a fright, and just now I was staring at you, but that's only an awful fault of mine. I'm a terrible starer. If you'd like me to explain how I got in here, not about the staring, I will.
It doesn't matter.
You see, I just put all my things into a third-class smoker and was having a look at the bookstore.
When you had to run for the train.
Exactly. How did you guess?
Oh, it's the kind of thing I do myself. Forget everything when I'm looking at a book. I hope there was nothing valuable.
Oh, only some silly drawing that I was taking back from the office. Actually, I was rather glad to lose my hat. It's been hurting me all day.
It's left a mark.
How beautiful she was. How simply beautiful. My heart swelled as I spoke, bigger and bigger, trembling like a marvellous bubble so that I was afraid to breathe for fear of breaking it. Isn't life wonderful?
I don't think so. Then I've been a fatalist for a long time now, months.
Why?
I can't speak the noise. Wait till we're out of the tunnel.
What was happening between us? We said nothing, but our silence was alive and warm. It covered me from head to foot in a trembling wave. In some mysterious fashion, we had established a bond between us. We couldn't be utter strangers if she could speak so simply and naturally. I began to feel it was absolutely necessary that when we came out of the tunnel, she should look up and understand.
Do look. All those black woods and pools of shining water in the sky. Well, apricot, isn't it? I get out here.
Oh, well, so soon? Look, here, shan't I see you again? What? I must see you again.
I come down from London every evening.
Oh, you do, really? Let me do it for you. I'll see you.
She had seemed nervous. I had been too eager. She had left me without a word or glance. Saturday, a half day at the office, Sunday between, then Monday. By Monday evening, I was quite exhausted. I got to the station far too early, felt as though a pack of silly thoughts was driving me up and down the platform. She hadn't said she came by this train, supposing I went up and she cut me. There might be someone with her. Why did I suppose she'd ever think of me again? What was I going to say if I did see her? I felt tired. Terribly tired. All I wanted was to sit down and close my eyes. She wasn't coming. There was a forlorn relief in the thought. I looked up, though I don't know why. And there she was, near me, walking towards the train with the same leather case in her hand. I waited. I knew she had seen me, but I didn't dare move. She came closer.
Did you get them again?
Oh, yes. Thank you. One portfolio and one pair of gloves. Oh. Perhaps we ought to get on the train.
Yes.
Shall we go in this empty carriage?
Yes. I'd rather we sat opposite each other.
Of course, if you like.
She pushed back a strand of hair that had fallen on her shoulder, and I saw that her hand was shaking. She sat stiffly with her knees pressed together. So, for that matter, did I. Both of us were trying not to tremble. It's so silly not knowing your name.
My name is Edna.
My name is Henry. How old are you?
Over 16, and you?
I'm nearly 18.
Have you ever been in love before?
No, never. Have you?
Oh, never in all my life. I never even thought it possible.
Whatever did you do all Saturday and all Sunday? And today?
I can't think. You tell me.
I? As a matter of fact, I can't tell you either. I can't climb back over those mountains of days.
But it's been agony. Oh. Agony.
Yes.
It's so extraordinary. I feel as I've known you for years.
Oh, so do I. I believe it must be the spring. I believe I've swallowed a butterfly and it's fanning its wings just here.
Your heart.
Oh, yes.
And the really extraordinary thing is that I didn't care for men at all. I mean, all the girls at college.
Were you at college?
A training college, learning to be a secretary.
I'm in an office, an architect's office. Such a funny place. Up 130 stairs.
Do you like it?
No, of course I don't. I don't want to do anything, do you?
No, I hate it. My mother is a Hungarian, you see. I believe that makes me hate it even more.
It would.
Mother and I are exceptionally alike. I haven't a thing in common with my father. He's just a little man in the city. But Mother's got wild blood in her, and she's given it to me. She hates our life just as much as I do. All the same, we don't get on a bit together. It's strange, isn't it? I'm absolutely alone at home.
Would you take off your hat?
Take off my hat?
Yes. It's your hair. I'd give anything to see your hair properly.
But it is really...
Oh, it is. It's the loveliest thing in the world. Like a cape of gold.
Do you like it? People generally laugh at it. It's such an absurd colour.
Oh, I won't have that. It's an absolutely perfect colour. Do you often sit with your chin cupped in your hands, like now?
When I'm angry and feel something burning me up. Silly, isn't it?
No, not a bit. I knew you must. It's your sort of weapon against all the dull, horrid things.
However did you know that? That's just it, but however did you know?
I just knew. Edna, what fools most people are. Just look at you and me. Here we are. That's all there is to be said. I know about you, and you know about me. We found each other just by being natural. That's all life is, something childish and very natural, isn't it?
Yes. Oh, yes. That's what I've always thought.
It's people that make things so complicated. As long as you can keep away from them, you're safe and happy.
Oh, I've thought that for a long time.
Then you're just like me. I believe we're the only two people alive who think as we do. In fact, I'm sure of it. Nobody understands me. I feel as though I were living in a world of strange beings. Do you?
Always.
We'll be in that loathsome tunnel again in a minute. Edna, can I just touch your hair?
Oh, no. Please, don't.
I realized my mistake directly. She drew back and, as we entered the tunnel, moved a little away from me.
Dear Edna, I've bought the tickets. The man at the concert hall didn't seem at all surprised that I had the money. Meet me outside the gallery doors at 3 and wear that cream blouse and the corals, will you? I love you. I don't like sending these letters to the shop. I always feel those people with letters received in their windows keep a kettle in their back parlour that would steam open an elephant's ear of an envelope. But it really doesn't matter, does it, darling? Can you get away on Sunday? Sundays without you are simply impossible. I do love you, Edna. Don't get run over before Saturday, and don't eat anything out of a tin or drink anything from a public fountain. That's all.
My darling, darling Henry, yes, I'll be there on Saturday, and I've arranged about Sunday too. That is one great blessing. I'm quite free at home. I've just come from the garden. It's such a lovely evening. Oh, Henry, I could sit and cry. I love you so tonight. Silly, isn't it? I either feel so happy I can hardly stop laughing, or else so sad I can hardly stop crying, and both for the same reason. But we are so young to have found each other, aren't we? I'm sending you a violet. She's quite warm. I wish you were here now, just for a minute even. Good night, darling. I am Edna.
Shall I help you off with your coat?
No, no, I can manage. They're excellent seats, aren't they?
Not the very best, but the man in the ticket office said they'd be good.
Henry, flowers?
Only 2 little roses. For you.
They're gorgeous. Do you get my letter all right? Shall I unpin them?
Of course. The violet you gave me is growing beautifully. You should see my room. I planted a little piece of it in every corner, and one on my pillow, and one in the pocket of my pyjama jacket.
Give me the programme, will you?
You can read it with me. I'll hold it for you.
No, let me have it.
Well, then I'll read it for you.
No, you can have it after.
Edna.
Oh, please don't. Not here, the people. Henry, I want to explain something to you. I will, I promise, after the concert.
All right.
You're not sad, are you? Yes, you are, Henry.
No, not really.
Are you happy?
Yes. Why did I want to touch her so much, and why did she mind? Whenever I was with her, I wanted to hold her hand or take her arm. When we walked together, I wanted to lean against her. Not hard, just lightly, so that my shoulder should touch hers. But she wouldn't even have that. Every time I even asked her for her hand, she shrank back and looked at me with pleading, frightened eyes, as though I wanted to hurt her. How was it we could say anything to each other, and yet I couldn't touch her? Not even help her off with her coat? It was twilight when we came out of the hall. A blue net of light hung over the streets and houses. As we walked along beside each other, why was my heart so strangely heavy?
Henry? Henry, I'm not coming to the station with you. Don't wait for me, please. Please leave me.
My God, what's the matter? Edna, darling, Edna, what have I done?
Oh, nothing, go away.
Edna, you're crying. Edna, you mustn't. Edna, stop. It's all my fault. I'm a fool. I'm a thundering idiot. I've spoiled your afternoon. I've tortured you with my idiotic clumsiness. That's it, isn't it? Edna, for God's sake.
Oh, I do hate hurting you, son. Every time you ask me to let you hold my hand or kiss me, I could kill myself for not doing it, for not letting you. I don't know why I don't even. It's not that I'm frightened of you. It's not that. It's only a feeling I can't understand myself even. Give me your handkerchief, will you?
Yeah.
All through the concert, I've been haunted by this. Every time we meet, I know it's bound to come up. Somehow I feel if once we did that, you know, held each other's hands and kissed, we'd all be changed. I feel we wouldn't be free like we are. We'd be doing something secret. We wouldn't be children anymore. I know it sounds silly. I'd feel awkward with you, Henry. I'd feel shy. And I do so feel that just because you and I are you and I, we don't need that sort of thing. Oh, Henry, you do understand me, don't you?
I think I do. But you're not going to be frightened anymore, are you? We'll forget, Edna. I'll never mention it again.
Will it make you love me less?
Oh, no! Nothing could. Nothing on earth could do that.
During the next few weeks, London became our playground. On Saturday afternoons, we explored. We found our own shops where we bought Edna cigarettes and sweets, our own tea shop with our own table, our own streets. And one night, we found our own village.
Just look at those little houses, Henry. They're nearly covered right up with creepers and ivy. Look, there's the river. We can walk along beside it.
This is definitely the place for us to live in. There's even a house to let. I wonder if it'll wait if we ask it. I'm sure it will.
Yes, I think I should like to live there.
Yes. At night, the stars will shine like small candles. Inside, there are two rooms downstairs and a big room with folding doors upstairs. And above that, an attic. There are 8 steps to the kitchen. Very dark ones, Edna. You're rather frightened of them, you know. You asked me to bring a lamp to make sure our maid has raked out the fire before we go up to bed.
Yes, and our bedroom is at the very top, that room with the 2 square windows. When it's quiet, we can hear the river flowing and the sound of the poplar trees far, far away, rustling and flowing in our dreams. Darling.
You're not cold, are you, Edna?
No, only happy.
The room with the folding doors is yours. It's a mixture. It isn't a room at all. It's full of your toys, and there's a big blue chair in it where you sit curled up in front of the fire with the flames and your long hair, because though we're married, you refuse to put your hair up and only tuck it inside your coat for the church service. There's a rug on the floor for me to lie on because I'm so lazy. Our maid only comes in the day. After she's gone, we go down to the kitchen and sit on the table and eat apples, or perhaps we make some tea, just for the sake of hearing the kettle sing. Well, that's not joking. If you listen to a kettle right through, it's like an early morning in spring.
Yes, I know. All the different kinds of birds. Oh, Henry, see the kitten? Kitty, look, it heard me, it's coming.
Let's not stop, let's go on pretending. If we're going for a walk, take the cat and put it inside the front door. I've got the key. You stay here, Edna, with your kitten, while I go up to the steps and open the door. Let's go away at once. It's going to turn into a dream.
Oh, don't. Don't let's go home.
We shan't, darling. What I feel so certain about is that we ought to be living there now. We oughtn't to wait for things. What's age? I have a feeling often and often that it's dangerous to wait for things. That if you wait for things, they only go further and further away.
But Henry, we haven't any money.
Oh, well, perhaps if I disguise myself as an old man, we could get a job as caretakers in some large house. I'd make up a terrific history of it if anyone came to look over it. And you could dress up and be the ghost moaning and wringing your hands in the deserted picture gallery to frighten them off. I mean, don't you feel that money is more or less accidental? That if one really wants things, it's either there or it doesn't matter.
Oh, dear, I don't want to go home.
Exactly, that's the whole trouble. We oughtn't to go home. I'm not really laughing. I'm not even happy. I'm lonely for you, Edna. I would give anything to lie down and cry with my head in your lap and your darling cheek in my hair.
You have faith, haven't you, Henry? I mean, you are absolutely certain that we shall have a house like that and everything we want, aren't you?
Not enough. That's not enough. I want to be sitting on those very stairs and taking off these very boots this very minute, don't you? Is faith enough for you?
If only we weren't so young. Yet I don't feel very young. I feel 20 at least.
Spring was nearly over when we went further out into the country so that Edna could gather primroses. We lay on our backs in a little wood on the dead leaves and the sunlight shone down on us.
This is an enchanted wood, Henry. Look how the leaves are quivering over our heads, like fountains of green water. Mm. You coming to look for primroses?
You go. Come back for me later. Okay. I'm too lazy.
Keep my hat and jacket then, will you? I want to be free of everything so I can fly if I want.
Don't fly far away, will you, Edna?
So many different flowers. Wood sorrel and violets. Masses and masses of primroses down in the dip where the trees thin out.
The wood was silent except for the leaves, but I knew she wasn't far, and I moved so that the tips of my fingers could touch her pink jacket. Ever since I'd waked, I'd felt strange, as though I was not really awake but dreaming. It seemed that the time before Edna had been a dream, and now we were both dreaming together, and somewhere in some dark place, another dream waited for me.
No, I thought, that can't be true, because I can't ever imagine the world without us. I tried to remember what it had felt like before Edna, but I couldn't. Those days were hidden by her. Edna, with her marigold hair and strange, dreamy smile, filled me up to the brim. I breathed her. I ate and drank her. A shivering ring of Edna kept the world away, or touched whatever it lighted on with its own beauty. Long after she'd stopped laughing, I could hear her laugh running up and down my veins. And yet, were we in a dream? Then suddenly I saw Edna and myself as two very small children walking through the streets, looking through windows, buying things, and playing with them, talking to each other, smiling. Then I rolled over and pressed my face in the leaves, faint with longing. I wanted to kiss Edna and to put my arms round her and press her to me and feel her cheek hot against my kiss. Kiss her until I'd stifled my dream and got no breath left. Call again. Edna?
Down here. Beneath you in a green hollow.
Oh.
Oh, Henry. Such beauties. I've never seen such perfect flowers.
Aren't you tired yet?
I wish I could feel tired. I want to walk all over the world until I die. I'm so happy. Oh, look ahead. There's nothing but heather. Let's sit down and rest in it. Mmm. So lovely. I could almost fall asleep. I'm going to curl up under my hair and lie beside you. It's like being under the sea, isn't it? So sweet and still.
Yes.
Let's go. Which is the way, Henry?
Back to the road is probably the best.
No, I couldn't walk over the world. I'm tired now. You and I are tired, Henry. How much further is it?
I don't know. Not very far.
Oh, it really is too far. I'm tired and I'm hungry. Carry my silly basket of primroses, will you?
We're almost at a village. We're sure to find somewhere where we can get some tea. Wait. I know this place. I've often been here. See what that cottage says? Tea's provided. You sit on the bench and I'll go and order. Good afternoon.
You haven't been here for a long spell, sir.
No.
Is the young lady your sister?
Yes.
There's a likeness. There, miss, if you like white jonquils.
Oh, thank you. Oh. Thank you so much.
I suppose you don't happen to know anyone who wants a cottage. My sister is taken ill and she left me hers. I want to let it.
Well, I might know of someone.
Oh,
could we go and look at it?
Certainly you could, sir. It's just a step down the road. The little one with the apple trees in front. I'll fetch you the key.
Edna, will you come?
Yes. Oh, yes, I'll come.
Do you like it?
I love it. Come and look out of the window. It's perfect.
The breeze is blowing your hair in front of my eyes. No, don't stop it. Don't move.
Look, stars, Henry.
There'll be a moon in a moment.
What has been the matter with you all day? Oh, I do love you. Hold me, Henry.
Edna, my darling Edna.
Hasn't it been terrible today? I knew what was the matter and I've tried every way I could to tell you. I wanted you to kiss me, that I'd quite got over the feeling.
You're perfect. 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 I'd have cut off my hand rather than spoil her happiness. How strange she was that day. All the time she talked to me, her eyes had laughed and been sweet and mocking. So 1 week later, there I was, sitting in the cottage in an old rickety chair, wondering how I could wait until evening. I took my watch out of my pocket and put it in a china jar on the mantelpiece. I'd looked at it 7 times in 1 hour. Well, I'd look once again. 4:30. Her train arrived at 7. I'd have to start for the station at 6:30. I don't believe this, I told myself. I don't believe it for a minute. It's too much. She'll be here in 2 hours and we'll walk home. She'll light the lamp in the kitchen and I'll look through the window and see her moving about in the pool of lamplight. Then we shall have supper, and after supper I shall put some wood on the fire, and we'll sit on the hearth rug and watch it burning. Then we shall light our candles, and she will go up first with her shadow on the wall beside her. And then I shall dash upstairs and jump into bed and watch the tiny bar of light from her room brush my door, and the moment it disappears, I'll shut my eyes and sleep. I went downstairs and sat on the doorstep with my hands clasped around my knees. I think a long time must have passed. Then suddenly I thought I saw a big white moth flying down the road. No, it wasn't a moth. It was a little girl in a pinafore. She smiled and her toes turned in as she walked. Or was it all happening in my dream? She can't be living here, I thought, because this is ours. When she got close, she took her hand from under her pinafore and gave me a telegram and smiled and went away. What a funny present, I thought, staring at it. Perhaps it's only a make-believe one and it's got one of those snakes inside it that fly up at you. It's only a dream, so I don't have to worry. I'll open it carefully. See, it's just a folded paper. Let me take it out and spread it.
Somehow I feel if once we did that, held each other's hands and kissed, it would all be changed.
The garden became full of shadows. They spun a web of darkness over the cottage and trees, and myself holding the telegram.
Something Childish But Very Natural by Catherine Mansfield was dramatized for radio by Jane Beeson. Henry was played by Michael Maloney, and Edna by Harriet Walter. The woman, Maddie Head. The play was directed by Cherry Cookson.